Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. It's good to see all the faces out here tonight. We have a good crowd for Sunday evening. Good crowd. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 this evening. I was thinking about what to do my sermon on, and I was praying. And really what I was looking for was, you know, what's the most important thing that I can really teach about that people really need to understand and get a hold of? And the one thing that I was looking at was in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And it involves faith. I believe faith is the most important thing that a person can have. And so that's what I think the Lord brought to my attention, and that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, Lord, and I thank You for all Your many blessings, God. And Lord, I just thank You for giving me this great privilege, Lord, for being up in the pulpit, God, and to preach Your Word, God. I just pray whatever's said and done here today, Lord, that it gives all the glory, praise, and honor to You, God. And what we take from this message, Lord, and that we can apply to our lives, Lord, to become better servants to You, Lord. And if there be one here today, Lord, that does not know You, Lord, may they trust in this gospel message, Lord, and have faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in Your name I do pray. Amen. Okay, so in verse 1, well, first I'm going to go ahead and give you my outline before I get in. My outline, number one, is going to be, what is faith? I believe before you can have faith in something, you have to understand what the definition of faith really is. Number two, faith of those before us. In the chapter here, there's tons of examples. I'm going to give you a couple examples of people in the Old Testament who had faith in Jesus. So we'll look at that. Third point, what we have faith in. Faith always has an object. And what I'm going to show you is, as God's people, what we really have our faith in. And our fourth and final point is, why be faithful? What's the point of being faithful to God? Is there really a point? And that'll be our final point. Now, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, it revolves around the word faith. Actually, it is mentioned 24 times in the chapter. Like, look at verse 3, through faith. Verse 4, by faith. You just look down through there and you see by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. So you see all down through the chapter, they're really trying to stress the word faith. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So in verse 1, it gives the definition of faith. Now I'm going to be really quick on this because my outline is really going to open it up. But faith is defined in verse 1. Let me read again. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now substance just refers to confidence. That's all it means. So when you read that, I'll say, "Now faith is the confidence of things hoped for." So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now like I said, faith will always rely on an object. And sometimes we have our faith in the wrong thing. Would you agree?
What?
Many people today, believe it or not, have their faith in themselves. They believe that they can go to heaven by their own righteousness. I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin," now that's something that we earned. "For the wages of sin is death." We earned death. So if you want to go and take it by your way and try to get it by obeying these Ten Commandments and try to live your whole life perfect, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to make it. You need the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You have to trust in Him. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So our faith has an object. Our object isn't in ourselves, it's in Jesus Christ. So we trust in Jesus Christ. And faith is a confident expectation. You see, it's not something that I just hope happens. You know, we can hope next year that the basketball team wins the state championship. We can hope that. But what I'm telling you here today is,
this hope right here is a confident expectation. It's not something that we just hope but say, oh, I hope that we one day go to heaven. It's a confident expectation. You say, I guarantee we'll be in heaven one day to see our loved ones. It's a confident expectation. What are the things we expect as God's people? This is something that I was thinking about. What are some things that God's people expect? Well, we expect to one day be in heaven.
That's right.
I mean, when we die, as Tyler said in his testimony, I mean, the best day of our lives isn't really going to be our birthday. It's going to be our death day to be with the Lord.
Amen.
So we expect to one day be in heaven. We also expect to see our loved ones. We expect to see our loved ones. And I'm sure everyone can relate to somebody that they love that they've lost. But one day, if you're in Christ, you'll get to see them again.
Amen.
And let me tell you something else that's really been on my heart and that we talk a lot about here. When you pass away, your bank account isn't going to be what matters.
Right.
It's going to be what your family knows is who you're with and where you're at.
Right.
That's what matters to a family.
Right.
You know, when they pass away, and you know, Jeff's talked about how he's done funerals, and you kind of say, I really don't know if they were saved. And you know, you kind of have that feeling as if, oh my, I don't know if they really went to heaven. Now, do you want your family to live with, I really hope he trusted, or do you want to have that confidence that at the end of your days, you'll say, I'll get to see him again.
Amen.
I will get to see him again. That's what I want. I want people here today to have that guarantee that when someone loses a loved one like my grandpa,
right,
then I'll get to see him again.
Amen. Yes.
Don't leave doubt for your families. You got to trust him today and leave your family with that comfort.
Amen.
Thirdly, and I love this, we'll get to spend an eternity with God.
Amen.
You know, it's not 6 months, folks, that we get to spend with the Lord. It's an eternity with God forever. Now, I can't imagine when I die and the first face I'll see is Jesus Christ. And I don't live 6 months with Him, I'll be with Him forever.
Yeah,
that's a confident expectation. As God's people, that's something that we have confidence in. And that's not something that we hope. So this is all confident expectations. I'm going to turn you to Romans chapter 4. I hate to skip around a lot of books. And I'm going to try not to do that too much tonight. So as God's people, we have a confident expectation that one day we'll get to see our loved ones and we'll get to spend eternity with God. These are things that we confidently expect. Another definition is in chapter 4 and verse 21. It says, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He will also be able to perform. Now, what's fully persuaded mean? It's the same thing as being having a confident expectation. I mean, if you're trying to tell me something, I say, I'm fully persuaded on what you're telling me. That means I trusted 100% on what you're saying. And you know, what God says, you know, He'll say that one day we'll see our loved ones, that one day we'll be in heaven. I am fully persuaded that what God says, He will be able to perform.
Amen. Right.
Who all believes that tonight? Raise your right hand.
Amen. Sure do, buddy.
Amen to that. What He says, He will be able to perform. That's a great blessing. So those are things that we confidently expect. And you know, something that I was just thinking about. You know, what's the greatest evidence of God's creation? Something I've been having a lot of troubles with at school is people questioning that God even existed. And I'm going to say, the one thing the devil's attacked today is the very first verse of the Bible. Because if he can destroy the first verse of the Bible, then it contradicts the whole rest of the book. It discredits the whole thing. So I think that's something that the devil really attacked. But this book right here is God's Word. This is the greatest evidence that God has ever existed. It's through His book. This is what God says. This is His Word.
Right.
And you say, well, men wrote it, but they wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God wrote this entire book. And this is the greatest evidence. You know, we don't have to go to the highest mountains and try to find evidence of Noah's Ark or anything. We have this book right here. And as we say, Lot, if God says it, we believe it, and that settles it.
Amen.
That's the greatest evidence right here.
Yeah,
buddy. So God's Word should be sufficient for people nowadays. I think people just want too much evidence. This book right here should be sufficient for people. I'm going to turn you to Luke chapter 16 really quick. Luke chapter 16. And I'm just going to show you a quick example. Now the story really, I'm just to summarize it up really quick, is Lazarus and the rich man. And at one point they both died. Lazarus had been full of sores and really wasn't rich here physically, while the rich man was, you know, clothed in nice clothing and different things. And he was really rich physically compared to Lazarus. And one night these two men died, and it said that the rich man lifted up his eyes into heaven, under the heavens, and he was begging for a drop of water on his tongue. That's how much he was tormented. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about, is when you're in hell, you're there for an eternity. There's no getting out of it. An eternity is an eternity. But what I want you to look at is in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He was praying for just something, to send them to angels or anything, to go to their father's house and to show their brothers that, hey, this place is real. Heaven and hell, this is a real place. And what I want you to look at is in verse 29. And Abraham said to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You see, those people, if they wouldn't believe in this book right here, this is Moses and the prophets. If they wouldn't believe in this book, then they wouldn't even believe somebody that came back from the dead.
Right.
And I believe that still be true today. You know, I don't think we need to have, God needs to bring somebody back from the dead for everybody to get saved. They have this book right here. If this book isn't sufficient for people to get saved anymore, then they wouldn't even believe the God that came back from the dead. I still believe that to be true today.
Amen.
So God's Word should be sufficient for people. And like I said, the devil's tried to ruin the whole book through the first verse. And as God's people, we need to stand up for that. And we need to show them this book, because this book is how people get saved. That's how anybody here that's been saved, they've been saved through this book. So that's what we need to show them. We need to stand up for it. So what is faith? Well, it's a confident expectation in what you'll have one day. Having faith is in an object. It's in Jesus Christ. My second point is faith of those before us. And I want you to turn back to the text in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to show you a couple examples of people who had faith. Now, a couple of examples in the chapter that you see in the first couple of verses are Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. And the first one I'm just going to talk about is Noah. Now, wouldn't you agree that Noah was a great man that represented having faith in God?
Yep.
Would you agree with that?
Yep.
Noah built an ark, and this could be longer, could be a little bit shorter, but Noah built an ark over a 120-year period. And God told him to build an ark, and there was no rain during that time period. And the Bible says that the earth was watered from dew on the ground. And you got to think, you know, people come to Bancroft, say you're building a doghouse in the front yard, and you'll have 50 people come around you. So imagine a person building a gigantic ark and the crowd that came with that. He would have been ridiculed, made fun of. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it hadn't rained for 120 years. The earth was getting watered by dew. I mean, wouldn't people make fun of me? They'd say, I mean, no, what are you doing? It ain't even raining. There ain't going to be no big flood. So he had hardly no support. He was mocked. But let me tell you something. Noah also was a preacher. And while, what a lot of people don't think of, is while he was building this ark and this big crowd was coming, he also preached to those people. And I think that's a great testimony to Noah. While he's doing this big thing for God, building this ark, he's also preaching to those people about God. So I think that's a great testimony to him. You know, he didn't see the waters until after that 120-year period.
Right.
And then what happened? God shut the door. And what I pray for you here tonight is that you trust Him today. Because God can shut the door on your life in a snap.
That's right.
Whether that be by death or by rapture, you could die here today. Young or old. If you go to a cemetery, you can tell that there's been young kids that have died. Middle-aged, old. Everybody has a death date. And guess what? None of us know it.
Right.
And that's why we have to be prepared. Be prepared for whether Jesus comes back or be prepared for our death date.
Right.
Because once God shut that door, everybody was coming to the ark, but it was too late.
Right.
What I'm saying today is don't make it a too late, because a lot of people have weighed themselves right into hell. And once you're there, you're there.
Right.
Once that door is shut, then there's no getting in.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, while you have the opportunity, get in the ark today.
Amen.
Trust in Jesus Christ while you still can.
Yes, indeed.
So I think Noah, not only was he building the ark with no rain and people mocking him, but he also preached to those people who mocked him while he was building the ark. I think that's a great testimony to have. Enoch is my second. Now Enoch, it says that he simply walked with God in the Scriptures. He simply walked with God. And you say, well, how could that have anything to do with it? I mean, how is that a good testimony, walking with God? Well, a close walk can be a testimony to others. You know, if you're close to God and other people see how close you are to God, then they'll say, man, that guy's different. They get curious. They want to ask you questions. A close walk and a close fellowship with God can impact other people,
right,
even when you don't know it. You know, I've heard stories of how people used to, you know, look out their window and they seen, you know, families or different people putting on their church clothes and walking to church. And they seen them doing that every Wednesday, Sunday evening service.
Yeah.
They seen them doing that every day. That's a testimony.
That's right.
And when people see you doing that, that encourages them to go with you. Enoch had a close walk with God, and that affects other people. Your testimony, Tyler's testimony that he gave tonight, could have affected somebody here today.
That's right.
When we, as God's people, have strong relationships with God, that impacts other people.
Amen.
Impacts other people. So Enoch simply walked with God. We're ambassadors of Christ. I'm going to say, and what's an ambassador? It's simply a representative. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And we have a reputation here on earth. And we ask you here tonight, what's your reputation? Do you have a reputation like Enoch? Do you have that close fellowship with the Lord? Or are you drifting here tonight? These are the questions I'm asking you. Are we being like Enoch? Are people seeing God in us? Or are we just kind of standing around, shying away and backing down from things? We need to stand up for God, and we need to have that close walk like Enoch did and have that good testimony.
Yeah.
You know, I could say Enoch had a good name, and a good name goes a long way. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, you have to turn there. But it says, good name is better than riches.
Sure is.
And I believe that. You know, having a good name is so important. Because without having a good name, how can you present the gospel to people? If you act the same as how you do, you know, out in the world, and you act worldly around other people, how can they take you serious? You know, people look at me and, you know, they see me as the preacher, If they ever have any questions, then they come to me. Why? Because I'm different. I'm set apart. God's people are set apart. And as people watch us, they should see that separation. They should see that close walk in us. But when they have questions, they should come to the people. They say, that guy's different right there. He knows God. I'm going to go to him. So that's the kind of things that we need. We need to have a good name and a good reputation. Another example is Abraham. Now, Abraham offered up his own son, Isaac. His own son. Now, I don't know if anybody could do that here today. I mean, could you imagine Abraham going up and he's about to lay that stake or whatever right through his son, and right the last second, God stops him. I mean, you got to think about how much faith you have to have in God to lay a stake through your own son. That has to take tremendous confidence and faith in your God to be able to do that. I don't think any of us here today could be able to do that. So he had to have great faith. Are you being a faithful servant here today? Is what I'm trying to drive home. Are you being faithful to the Lord? Are you being like these Old Testament saints who had great faith? Do you have that same faith? Do you have the same characteristics of these old saints? You know, God... You know, these Old Testament saints had a lot of things that they went through. And you say, well, back then they had it easy. My goodness, they had it easy back then. And, you know, they had Jesus, they had different things. Back then it was easy. You know, we have it tough today. You know, Paul is another great example. And Paul went through a lot. I think every Old Testament saint went through a lot. You know, Paul was the chief sinner in his day. The chief sinner. He was persecuting Christians. Persecuting Christians. And you know, he was locked up in a jail cell. The Lord changed him on the road to Damascus. He was saved. And I'm going to show you, Old Testament saints didn't have it easy. He was locked up in a jail cell. He was beating unmercifully. They threw him in the jail cell, but guess what? They still sang praises. They still prayed to God. And they were being a good witness. And one day, there was a great earthquake and those doors opened. And instead of Paul and Silas running out of there and getting out, what did they do? They preached to an entire jail cell. Get out here and run. They stay and they testify to those people. Amen. Those jail cellars. And that's a great testimony to have. Paul was beaten and he still represent his God.
Amen.
You know, there's going to be trials and tribulations in this world, folks. God never said in the Bible that it's going to be an easy road. Have you ever seen that in the Bible, that God said it's ever going to be easy?
No.
God said, and I believe it was, I can't really remember the verse, but I know it said trials and tribulations. And you know, we've lost loved ones and we've lost different things. But as God's people, we got to have faith in God. You see, if God's your foundation here today, I believe if you are truly in Jesus Christ, you can get through any trial or tribulation.
Right.
He can carry you straight
right.
through.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. It's because He never leaves nor forsakes you.
Amen.
He'll be with you right there till the very last breath.
Sure will.
And I believe if you have Him as your foundation, you can get through anything. My final example, and we'll get to our third point, is Abel. Now, everybody knows the story of Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis. Abel approached God with the blood of a sacrifice, and it was the skin of an animal. And Cain's sacrifice was with a fruit and vegetable. Now, what was wrong with Cain's offering? It was with fruit and vegetable. Well, there was no blood in that sacrifice. You see, Abel's was the skin of an animal. And it had blood, which what we trust in is what? The blood of Jesus. We trust in the blood of Jesus. So Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, I think Cain is a great representative of works, if you really think about it. You know, Cain, there was no blood involved. It was all, you know, kind of himself. But Abel's involved the blood representing Jesus Christ. I think Abel represented Jesus Christ and Cain represented more of a self-righteousness. So Abel was a great great representative of God. Now our third point is, what do we have faith in? I mean, I think it's important to know what we really have faith in as God's people. We have faith in the gospel message. We have faith in the promises of the Bible. We have faith in Christ and His second coming. I think those are, as God's people, those are all things that we have faith in. And what I say about gospel messages is having faith, and this is how you get saved right here, folks. You don't have to come up here and to get saved. You can trust Jesus right there where you sit. The gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you trust that here today, right there where you sit, you can have these spiritual blessings. You can have eternity with God. You can see your loved ones again.
Right.
These are things that I want you to have.
Amen.
But I can't trust Him for you. You have to do that for yourself.
Amen.
And I say, trust Him today. Trust Him today. So we have faith in the gospel message. God paid our penalty in 6 hours. You all realize that 6 hours, God was brutally beaten. The Creator of this earth was brutally beaten and crucified, and He paid our sin debt in 6 hours, but it would have taken us an eternity to pay.
Right.
That's something we should be thankful here today, folks.
Amen.
Is that one day we don't have to spend eternity to hell. God was the substitution for my hell.
Amen.
He paid it in full for me.
That's right.
That's something we should be thankful for every day of our lives.
Amen.
God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, it is.
Now, we don't have to live in darkness. We can have hope every day of our lives because Jesus Christ died for us.
Yes.
Now, that's a reason to live happy every day.
Amen.
You know, you can have a down day. You know, something's not going right. But you remember what Jesus Christ did for you. That should brighten your day up in a snap.
That's right.
What I'm telling you here today is, I want you to be focused on the eternal things, not the temporary. Because the temporary is here for a season. Just for a season. The eternity is with God. I want you to think about the eternal and not the temporary.
Right.
We also have faith in His promises. Wouldn't you agree?
That's right.
And we'll give you a couple of His promises, and I'm not going to turn you there to save time. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it talks about having no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When He dies, when Jesus Christ died for us, we no longer have to worry about this law. Now, of course, we want to try to obey it and not break the Ten Commandments, but those laws no longer apply to us. You know, the sting of death for us, those who trust in God, is gone. As Tyler said, we're not afraid of hell anymore. Because we have that great hope at the end of our days, we'll get to see Jesus Christ. God paid it in full. We have no condemnation. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 17. The Lord delivers the righteous cry. Now isn't that a blessing that whenever the righteous cry, the Lord will be right there for us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Is to be strong and of good courage. Because the Lord will always be with us. You know, if the Lord's always with us, then we can always be strong and have good courage, no matter what we face. You know, sometimes we think, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now, let me tell you something. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm telling you here today, as long as Jesus Christ is your foundation, you can always be strong and you can always have good courage in any situation that you face. And finally, now these are just a couple of examples, is Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Like I said earlier, He never leaves nor forsakes us. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
That the Creator of this world will never leave you nor forsake you in any way. He'll be with you every step of the way. Anything that you face, any hardship, any trial, any tribulation, God will be right there to face it with you. Now that's something we should be thankful for every day.
That's right.
That He'll be right there with us. Now how do we know that these promises are true? It says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, God cannot lie, nor can He break an unconditional promise.
Amen.
God cannot lie. So what's that mean? All these promises that He's given us, He's not going to break it. He's going to stay true to His Word. And so if He says that He's never going to leave us nor forsake us, He means that. He will never lie or break a promise. Finally, we have faith in the second coming. Now, as we know, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. Ever since Jesus Christ died, we've been in the last days. Any minute, God could come back and the trumpet could sound. Any minute, that could happen. It could happen right here in the congregation. And I've watched videos, and the preacher's up here standing, and then a big lightning bolt hits, and boom, the trumpet sounds, the Bible drops while the preacher's preaching, and then 3/4 of the congregation's gone. Now imagine that. If I got to trust Jesus Christ right now, but it's too late. Now, if we had the cure to cancer, and I laid it right here, and I said, here's the cure, and I leave your house and I expect you to take that if you have cancer, I come back a week later and I see that cure for cancer is still sitting right there. I said, well, Caleb, why didn't you take this cure? It's the cure for cancer. This is killing you. You don't know how much time you have left. Why didn't you take this? And he said, well, you know, I think I'm just going to wait till the last minute. Yeah, I don't want to use it all. I'm just going to wait till the last minute. Now, what would you call that? Foolish. It's foolish. Because we don't know our death date, and we could die in an instant. Or that trumpet could sound in the second coming, and then we're out of here to be with the Lord. What I'm telling you is, don't wait to take that cure. There's a much worse sickness than cancer, folks, and that's sin sickness.
That's right.
And you need to get it right with God here today, and you need to get in God, and you need to trust Him as your personal Savior.
Amen.
And finally, the result, why be faithful? Why should we be faithful to God? I think that's a good question. This is the final point. Well, you know, the reason why I want to be faithful to God is because He's died for me, and I want to be a loyal, faithful servant to Him. That's what I want to be. I want to be a faithful servant to Him. When I go and die, and I see Jesus, I want Him to say, good job, a loyal and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Don't you? Doesn't everybody in the congregation want to hear that at the end of your days, that you ran a good race for God? Isn't that what we all want to hear? You know, sometimes, you know, I get nervous before I preach, and I've gotten better about that. But I'm thinking, you know, what's there to be nervous about? You know, of course I'm preaching to all you, but really I'm preaching to my God. And you know, when Jasmine and Tyler and giving their testimonies and singing different things, you know, they're really singing and giving their testimony to God. And I'm thinking, why should I be nervous about doing different things, nervous about going to play a state championship or something, when we have God right there with us all the way through? You know. So I want to run a good race for God. He's done so much for me. The least I can do is serve Him the rest of my days here. That's the least we could do for Him. Now, Ephesians 1, I'm not going to turn you there, but it mostly talks, I'm winding down here. Ephesians 1 talks about our spiritual blessings in Christ. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ here today, then you have those spiritual blessings. I want you to look up Ephesians 1 when you get home and look at different blessings. One of those is that we've been redeemed by His blood.
Amen.
We've been adopted by Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, have you been redeemed here today? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because like I said earlier, Romans chapter 8, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. One sin is sufficient for us to go to hell.
That's right.
And I'm saying is, we can't make it on our own. We got to have Jesus Christ pay it for us.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, get it right here today. Don't hold it off. Because the hell is filled with people who have held it off, waited and waited, and they weighed themselves right into an eternity.
That's right.
I'm saying, make it right with God here today.
Amen.
He's died for you. He's paid that sin debt for you. Now all you got to do is trust Him. Right there where He sat. It's that simple. For those who are saved, I'm going to ask you, are you being a loyal and faithful servant here today? Are you running a good race for God? That's something we need to ask ourselves every day is, you know, am I being a good, faithful servant? Can people see God in me every day that I serve Him?
Right.
So are we running a good race for God? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. In the end, eternity is all that matters, folks.
Right.
Eternity is all that matters. Don't focus on the temporary. I'm telling you to focus on the eternal.
Amen.
And get right and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Get that done here today and trust Him. Now that's all I have here today. I'm glad to see everybody out. If y'all would please stand, we'll close in a word of prayer.